Few moments we'll stand and sing Nothing But the Blood as we invite you to respond to the grace of God, and everything's been made ready and convenient that you might enjoy all spiritual blessings in Christ. We have visitors with us. We thank you for coming, and I'm privileged to be with you. As you begin reading in the book of Origination and make your way through the Revelation of John, you'll find that the number 40 is a number of great significance throughout the book of God. You might think about how that it rained on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Or how that Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. 40 years occurs a good number of times, and I'm going to preach 40 years this afternoon, Lord willing. I begin in the book of Genesis in chapter 25 and verse 20. How that Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. You remember the concern that Abram had for his son Isaac when he sent his eldest son with the instructions to secure a wife for his son Isaac. He said, don't take a wife of the daughters of the Canaanites, but rather he sent him back to his people. And through the providence of God, he was led to Rebekah. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis 25 and in verse 20, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. When you think about Isaac taking Rebekah to wife, it's a reminder of the fact that God instituted marriage at the beginning. How that in Genesis chapter 2, when God created man, placed him in the garden, he said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him and help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And with the rib that God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. That's Genesis 2, 18 through 24. This relationship, man and woman, male and female, husband and wife, is lifelong in duration. How that in Romans 7, 2 and 3, Paul said, the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. We need to be reminded of that in our society. In Matthew 19, when the Pharisees came asking Jesus, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Jesus said, have ye not read? And what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Matthew 19. 1 through 9. But again, as you make your study of 40 years, you'll find that the life of Moses is divided into three periods of 40 years. In the book of Acts in chapter 7, in Stephen's counsel defense sermon, verse 23 says, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And then, down in verse 30, when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. The first 40 years of Moses' life were spent in Egypt. The next 40 years in Midian as he fled, having slain an Egyptian. And then the remaining 40 years, from 81 to 120, were spent in the wilderness leading the people of God to the promised land. A lot of good lessons to be learned from Moses, whose name means drawn out, as he was drawn out in that time of slaughter when the decree was made by the ruler that the males were to be cast into the sea, to be destroyed. And you find his mother, seeing that he was a goodly child, made an ark of bulrushes. And he was drawn out by the river. He was delivered from the death sentence. And that is His purpose, basically, in life, to be a deliverer. He was delivered and He would bring deliverance. He delivered His brethren from the smiting Egyptian. He delivered the priest's daughters. And He delivered the Lord's people out of Egypt. God's people have always needed a deliverer. You need a deliverer today. Did you know that? And in the words of the song, I suggest to you, of our God, He is able to deliver thee. Christ is raised up like unto Moses, and He brought deliverance. Redemption is in Him, Ephesians 1 and in verse 7. The next time I come across 40 years are in the book of Exodus chapter 16. When the Lord's people are now wandering through the wilderness, and verse 35 reports, the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna. And they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And so as you make your study of 40 years, did you know that God's people ate manna for 40 years? That was God's means of providing for His people, sustaining them in that barren land. That manna that came down, called angel's food, in the book of John chapter 6, look forward to a better bread, the satisfying bread that would come down, and that's Jesus. When in John chapter 6, and in verse 32, the Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. And several times within this chapter, it is said of Jesus that He came down from heaven. And so that bread that came down, manna, typified Christ coming down from heaven. Down in John 6 and 49, He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Does that make you hungry? You know, Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Matthew 5 and in verse 6. But again, as you make your study of 40 years, I suggest to you that from the book of Numbers chapter 14, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Remember that? How that in Numbers chapter 13, spies were sent to search the land of Canaan over 40 days. 12 of them in number. 10 came back with a slanderous report. They said, we can't do it. 2 of them had a different spirit about them, Caleb and Joshua. They said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But when the people heard the men of great stature, giants, in their own sight, grasshoppers, they began to complain. Numbers 14:2. And the Lord doesn't like complaining. He said in Numbers 14:33, your children shall wander in this wilderness 40 years. There's your 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, so that waiting for funerals, waiting for deathbeds to come. Why 40 years? Verse 34, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know My breach of promise. And so 40 years, they had time to think about the consequences of their negativity, and their complaining. In chapter 32 and in verse 13, the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the congregation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Numerous references are made to that. The book of obedience in chapter 2 and verse 7 records, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness." You know, it'd be easy to get lost in a wilderness. They were not lost from an all-seeing eye. "These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing." How were they able to survive in that great wilderness? Because God had been with them. That's how. In chapter 8 and in verse 2, not only were these 40 years of wilderness wandering, years that underscore the providence of God, they were years of testing, years of proving. In chapter 8 and verse 2, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep the commandments or no." Then verse 4, He said, "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." Think about that. Wandering by foot and their feet didn't swell. You might walk a few miles and have swollen feet. You have any garments, don't answer out loud, that have lasted 40 years? Ones that you haven't changed, you just wore all the time? Think about that. It's a reminder of God's providential work. In the book of Joshua, when the people are privileged to cross over the Jordan into the land that floweth with milk and honey, notice in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6, where it is recorded, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that He would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that He would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey." Think about that. Of all of the men of war who came out of Egypt, only two would enter the promised land. Remember who they were? Joshua and Caleb. Shows how God feels about sin, doesn't it? In Psalm 95 and verse 10, it is recorded, "40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." A reminder of some truths from 40 years. But also, when I come to the book of Joshua, I'm impressed with the fact that Caleb was 40 years old when he was sent to spy the land. You know, in Joshua 14 and verse 7, as they're dividing the land, here you read about the inheritance of the 9.5 tribes. And Caleb said, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Here's a man that was 40 years old who is said to have wholly followed the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if that could be said about us today, male or female? "And Moses said, on that day, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 40 years old when sent to spy. Now he's 85 years old. Notice what he's able to say. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Wouldn't it be great if you could say that at 85 years old, that you're as strong now as you were when you're 40 years old? And he said, now that mountain is too high and I'm too old, and so I'll just stay here in the valley, didn't he? No. He said, now therefore give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day in Joshua chapter 14. And in verse 12, what a great attitude by this man. So you might remember that when you become 85 years old. Next. I read where a number of times I come across 40 years in the book of Judges, during the period of the Judges. The period of the Judges is summed up in Judges 21:25 as a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there's a cycle repeated throughout the book. Remember that cycle? How the people would go astray into idolatry. And the Lord would raise up a heathen people, a foreign nation, to oppress them. They'd be in servitude because of their sin. And they cried to the Lord. That's called supplication. They'd ask for forgiveness and mercy and deliverance. And the Lord would send a Savior. He'd raise up a judge to rescue and save his people from their oppression. And there'd be a time of rest, a time of peace and quiet. Like in Judges chapter 3, when the Lord's people apostatized, they fell away, and they found themselves oppressed by Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And after they cried unto the Lord raised up Othniel. And the Bible says in verse 11, the land had rest 40 years. That's Judges 3 in verse 11. Then in chapter 5, when Deborah, the female judge, was on the scene, verse 31 says, the land had rest 40 years. And then in Judges chapter 8, following the victory of the Lord's people over the Midianites, through Gideon and his army of 300 valiant men. The Bible says in Judges 8 and in verse 28, the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. It wasn't all quiet all the time. Because of sin, there was suffering. There was a lot of disruption. Imagine that turmoil being followed by a time of quietness and peace for 40 years. I read in the book of Judges in chapter 13 and verse 1, one of the formidable foes of the Lord's people at that time were the Philistines. And Judges 13:1 says, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. You know, there's some people, that's all they would have known. Oppression by the hand of the Philistines. Would have been determined by when you were born, wouldn't it? You may have lived during a time of peace and quiet. And there might have been those who were born and lived during a time of oppression. And so you can be thankful for the times in which you live today. To be a citizen in a country where you enjoy the privilege of worship, the freedom to come together on an occasion like this to worship. To be in a place where you can come and worship God with those who have a like precious faith, who have a common interest, who love one another, and you can have confidence that sound doctrine will be spoken. It's not always been that way for everybody at every time, has it? Another thing I began to remind myself of from this 40-year study was the fact that Eli judged Israel 40 years. In the book of 1 Samuel, you read of the last of the judges as the book transitions from the period of the judges to the period of the United Kingdom. In 1 Samuel 4 and 18, the Bible says, "It came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy." That's Eli. He had judged Israel 40 years. What do you remember about Eli? Probably the thing that is most remembered about him is the fact that he was told that his house would be judged forever, because he was the man that his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. How'd you like to go down in the annals of divine history as a father who didn't restrain his son, didn't discipline his children? Like it or not, children need to have some restraints, don't they? They need to know who's in control. And I expect about every child goes through a stage where they have to figure out who's the boss, who's in charge, and it's not them. Some of them think they're the ones that call the shots. They tell the parents what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. And sometimes the parents kind of ask them, are we going to do this? Did your parents ever ask you, would you clean your room? Think about it. What would they have said what would they have done, some of you who are older, if you said no? Would you have told your dad no? Or told your mother, no, I'm not going to do it? You might have only done that one time, and that would have been it. And yet we live in a society where there are young people that have no respect for their parents. They don't think anything about saying no to their parents, to their mother or to their dad. And the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. They're worthy of respect. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Eli serves as an enduring example to those who would not restrain their children. I need to know that. I need to be reminded of that as a father. And perhaps you do too, as a father, as a mother. And what the Bible teaches about discipline. Oh, I realize we live in times when there are those who tell you you ought not do that. But I suggest to you that this book, the Bible, is the best child-rearing manual in all the world. And God, who brought man into existence and placed within him the capacity to reproduce, knows more about the upbringing of a child than any psychiatrist or psychologist or anyone from the medical field, or any other field for that matter, will ever know about it. And the book of Proverbs is one of the finest books to read and to study along that line. It's filled with statements about a wise son and a foolish son, like Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. And that's not just they heard it. It goes in one ear and out the other. Yeah, I heard what you said, and just go on and do what you're going to do. It's the idea of hearing and heeding, listening, obeying, following the instruction. And it talks about the rod of reproof and how that it brings wisdom. And a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so I need to know that. Remember, 1 Samuel 3:13, God said of this father, I have told him that I'll judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. You need to do some restraining of your children. And so do I. But also, one other thing. 40 years, not only did Eli judge Israel, but David and Solomon reigned over Israel 40 years. From the period of the judges, we enter the period of the United Kingdom. Two of the great kings, David and Solomon, both reigned for 40 years. 1 Kings 2:11. The days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. Oh, he wasn't perfect. as you know, but he was a man after God's own heart, he said. Remember that? And he's the one who, it came into his mind or into his heart, he's going to build a house for God. But God had other plans. God built him a house. And that had its complete fulfillment in Jesus, who had built the church. Matthew 16:18. And then his son Solomon reigned 40 years in 1 Kings 11. And in verse 42, it is said, "And Solomon slept with his fathers the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel." Was 40 years. And this was the time in which the kingdom of Israel reached its height, its peak, in size and in splendor. And this man's remembered for several things: his wealth, his wisdom, his works, and his wise. Remember that? When he is given a blank check from God, "Ask what I shall give thee." What would you have asked for, by the way? Long life, honor, riches. He didn't ask for any of that. He showed humility. He said, "Give me an understanding heart to judge thy people." And God said, "Because you asked for that you didn't ask for, I'm going to give you that and what you didn't ask for." He became the wisest man to live, as well as the wealthiest. And so he's known for his wealth, his wisdom, his works. He was the one who built the temple. And unfortunately, he loved many strange women. That was his downfall. And he began to build houses for them and their gods. It is said of him that he made high places, those places of idolatrous worship, elevated places of worship. And so we've got to be on guard. It's interesting that this man would have so much to say in the book of Proverbs about the strange woman. And that was his downfall, wasn't it? He loved many strange women. A lot of good reminders, aren't there, available to us from 40 years. We have a king today, and that's King Jesus. He's raised up a descendant of David. You read the genealogy in Matthew, and you'll be impressed with the fact that Jesus is of the seed of David, the Son of God and the Son of Man. He has all power in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. And there's room in his kingdom for you. It's open to all. Even the vilest may now enter in. You enter the kingdom today the same way folks did in New Testament days. Being born into it, converted into it, and doing the Father's will into it. Like those in Acts 2:19 did. Remember what they did? Remember what they all have in common? Heard preaching, believed preaching, and obeyed preaching. Repenting of their sins, confessing their faith, being baptized. And that's not the end of it. Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly. And so day in and day out, I need to continue. I need to keep on keeping on. Keep my eye on the prize. I'm going to a city. Where are you going? Somebody asks you, "Where are you going?" You might say, "I'm going home. I'm going to the store. I'm going to work. I'm going to school." Where are you going? "I'm going to a city. I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. I'm going to a city the Lord has prepared for me. I'm going to a city, a beautiful city. How beautiful heaven must be. I'm going to a city where the streets are paved with gold. I'm going to a city. Won't you come and go with me?" As together we stand and sing.